Fuck you! That's my name!
Hey, this is Sharks Across Hollywood, and today we're like prepping for like WrestleMania, I guess, even though this isn't the WrestleMania company that made this movie that we're talking about, but but a year later would be absolutely closed and bought by the company that does WrestleMania.
So same thing, you know.
That company is WCW. The movie is ready to rumble. The movie is ready to rumble, and it stars David Arquette because they thought it would be a good idea.
And Scott Kahn and Oliver
Scott
Platt.
Scott Kahn, who is giving me these crazy Ryan Gosling energy.
Scott Kahn isn't fit to lick the shit off of Ryan Gosling's ass, and I like Scott Kahn.
I'm not saying it's good Ryan Gosling energy. He just has the Gosling thing. Especially the early 2000s, like, Murder by Numbers Gosling thing.
Okay. All right, well, admittedly, that was not Gosling at the peak of his abilities, necessarily, but...
Yeah, he got there eventually, but...
I still disagree. I think Scott Kahn might be going for that, but he is not
reaching
that level.
I don't think he's going for that because this was 2000 and Ryan Gosling was in, like, Remember the Titans.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know when the movies I love with Gosling actually hit.
After 2000.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
But, I mean, he was on the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, hey, man, I'll tell you what. My sister... And she is so loves to rub this in my face. My sister was a full-on Gosling lunatic back in the Young Hercules days. When Young Hercules was on TV, she was like, this guy is the greatest. He's going to be the biggest star in Hollywood. He's so gorgeous. He's such a great actor. He's going to be the biggest thing in the world. And she said that back when all of us were like, okay, whatever, Young Hercules. All right, yeah, sure.
Well, he's definitely Canadian. I don't know if he is actually Canadian, but he was in two Canadian kids shows that I used to watch. Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark?
He was also on the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, he was definitely on the Mickey Mouse Club. The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. Shirley Holmes. Fuck, sorry.
I haven't delved into the early Gosling oeuvre. I don't know how the hell that's pronounced. I just say
it's because we're not fucking French.
I just pronounce it pretentiously as possible. And hope it's right.
You know what we should do? We should talk about Ready to Rumble.
Yeah, we should talk about Ready to Rumble. Because I got a lot to say about Ready to Rumble. This is a movie. I have had this movie on DVD. This is one of the first DVDs I bought when I got a DVD player. I used to put this on most nights. Not every night, but most nights. I would put this on before I went to bed. And I would just to watch.
Was this when you were trying to avoid sleeping with your wife?
No. No, it was just, I just like to put it on before bed just to watch the fight in the Quick Stop.
It's the Lusk grocery store.
Oh, the Lusk grocery store. Excuse me.
Or something.
I'm pretty sure it's called Quick Stop, but I could be wrong.
I don't fucking remember.
Suffice to say, that fight with Super Macho Man Randy Savage.
Super Macho Man?
Oh, is it just Macho Man?
Super Macho Man?
I thought it was Super Macho Man.
It has never been Super Macho Man. I have no idea what the fuck
I've always thought it
about.
Was Super Macho Man.
You need to watch wrestling.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Peacock?
I do need to watch
wrestling. You can borrow my Peacock. I mean the streaming service. Not my tiny penis. Oh! Got there. Oh, that was fun for me. Yeah, the WWE Network shit is all on Peacock, and obviously since WWE owns WCW, every WCW thing is there too. Oh, and World Class Championship Wrestling, the Iron Claw, very sad.
We were just talking about
this. We were just talking about how everybody keeps telling me that this is some fucking, it's the best wrestling movie ever, and I'm like, it's not.
No, I think The Wrestler is the best wrestling movie, and then Beyond the Mat, although if you flipped those two, I couldn't disagree with you entirely, and then Ready to Rumble, and then Iron Claw.
It's No Holds Barred, and also...
In fairness, I have not seen No Holds Barred. You speak very highly of it.
It was Hulk Hogan's first starring role.
I don't know if it'll ever beat Thunderlips for me, because I think that's Hulk Hogan's greatest role.
That's what got him fired from the WWF.
Really?
Before he became the Hulk Hogan, because he wanted to act, and Vince Sr.'s like, get the fuck out of here. Don't want to do that shit.
Doing Thunderlips got him fired?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, and then he went to AEW. Oh, for fuck's sake. AWA, sorry, the American Wrestling Alliance or whatever the fuck. American Wrestling Association. Yeah, the American Wrestling Association, run by Vern Gagne and shit, and then he became Hulk Hogan, the biggest fucking coolest dude ever, and then Vince is like, you're gonna come over here, I'm gonna pay you lots of money, and we're gonna fuck these guys. Fuck these idiots. Fuck these guys. And then he became our Hulk Hogan. Our Hulk Hogan, then, the racist guy from Florida with an Irish name.
Terry.
His name is Terry.
And then the Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling came out, and then... Because I swear to God, man, when I was a kid, I literally thought WWF was the only wrestling there was.
Everybody did, at least nationally. Like,
yeah, I didn't know that there was any other wrestling organizations. Turns out there was a whole slew of them.
They were all over the fucking place.
I had no idea.
Vince McMahon destroyed the territory thing, but who cares? We're not talking about that. What we're talking about, Ready to Rumble. It's this dumb fucking movie from the year 2000.
It's this great fucking movie from the year 2000.
When WCW's head was so far up its ass that they tried everything they could to save the company, which would go under a year later.
I gotta level with you. It gave us this movie, and if that's what it took, I don't care.
Did you ever see David Arquette winning the WCW World Heavyweight title?
I heard about it. I have watched You Cannot Kill David Arquette, so I'm aware. And when this movie came out, I watched every special feature on that disc.
Okay.
So I am aware that he did some actual wrestling, and
I don't know if I'd call it actual wrestling. Okay. Well, the point is he
goes into his whole thing with Diamond Dallas Page and how actually when they were wrestling, he was the heel and Page was the face. And so it was kind of inverted in the movie.
Yeah, because he's like Hollywood and coming in and fucking taking DDP's spotlight.
Yeah.
We'll talk about WCW as like the information pops into my head.
Okay.
But like I said, because I think I watched that David Arquette thing live when it was on TV, on TNT, because I used to watch Monday Nitro.
I do recall Monday Night Nitro. That was when I think that specifically was what made me aware of the WCW when I was a teenager, because I watched TNT a lot, you know, because they had Up All Night, so they would run ads for WCW.
I'm trying to figure out when Hulk Hogan ended up leaving the WCW, because Hulk Hogan's not in this movie.
Hogan was out by the time Goldberg was the big thing, wasn't he?
No, that the Goldberg became the big thing in like 97, and that was shortly after the NWO took hold, right? Eric Bischoff, who is supposed to be the Sinclair character, apparently Eric Bischoff was supposed to play Sinclair in the movie, but he got fired like shortly. Like I said, the company is just like shitting all over itself. It's fucked. They're letting the wrestlers run the show, and it's just a bunch of fucking egotistical dickheads. And then you have Vince Russo writing all this shit, and sometimes he's good, but sometimes he's not. More often than not, he's not good. And he, again, ego, just fucking Kevin Nash was the booker, so him and his friends got to do all the cool stuff and win all the titles, and it just which the Goldberg thing, so I was in love with Goldberg. He had the winning streak. I hate Goldberg now. Goldberg sucks. Fuck Goldberg. But for a 10 to like 13 year old kid, Goldberg fucking rules, right? He's kicking ass.
I'll tell you what, I was really impressed with him the one time I saw him wrestle back in the 90s. Not because of his personality or anything like that. I actually thought, like, personality-wise, he seemed kind of boring.
He's a douche. Yeah,
but
and a boring guy, yeah.
He could really move. He had great, like, physicality. He would get out there, and he moved fast, and he didn't lumber, you know, like a lot of the guys do.
He was a football player.
Yeah, and he moves like a football player.
And so one of the things that WCW got criticized for, not by the fans, because we fucking loved it, and I watched it, and I'm like, fuck yeah, this is awesome. But by a lot of the brass in the back, they're like, what the fuck are you doing, Eric? Just trying to win ratings, the ratings war? World Heavyweight Championship match on Monday Nitro between Hulk Hogan, who had the belt, and Goldberg, who was undefeated at the time. And it was huge. The match is like, okay, but like the buildup, they packed this fucking stadium in Georgia in like a week. They had to add like 10,000 more seats.
Wait,
or some
they
shit.
Only promoted it for a week?
It wasn't that long. Yeah, it was like a week or two. Yeah.
Wow, that seems really short.
As a fan, that was the coolest fucking thing I'd ever seen in my life.
At this point, it would depend entirely on how well the fight went, because I can't really embrace those nerddoms anymore. You know, like I don't. Yeah. I don't have that undying allegiance thing going on that you get when you're young.
You had to legitimately be there to see the build up, and you have to be, you can watch the match and you can kind of get what it's like and see it. It's huge. It's loud. It's in Goldberg's home place where he played football.
Okay. So, all right. So they really pulled the fans in. Yeah.
Anyways, fucking Ready to Rumble has nothing to do with any of that because Goldberg's winning streak had been ended by Kevin Nash with a fucking taser.
Now, I want to make sure I'm remembering this correctly. Kevin Nash is the guy from Thor, right?
Yeah. Super Shredder.
Oh, and for the listener, we are not talking about Marvel's Thor. We're talking about the Asylum's Thor.
Yeah, he was Super Shredder and the Russian and the Punisher 2004, whenever the fuck that movie came out, and Thomas Jane's Punisher.
I don't remember a Russian in that Punisher, but
he was literally
most of that movie.
The Russian, you know, the best fight in the movie?
Nope. I've forgotten most of that movie.
That was the best part. You need to get your shit
together. I literally only remember the parts I don't like.
What parts don't you like?
I really did not like the scene where Travolta's guys come into the Punisher's apartment and
when they rip Spacker Dave's fucking piercings out.
And it's just him and fucking, what's the guy's name? John Panette or something?
John Panetti, yeah.
The Panetti guy. Yeah. And he's just kind of standing there like, oh, shucks, I don't know what to do. I was like, this is the worst choreographed scene I've ever seen in an action movie. It's terrible. It's truly terrible. It's a terrible scene. It's so poorly done. And it really frustrated me because up to that point, I was enjoying the movie.
We should talk about that movie. We could do some Punisher.
The fact that they cast Roy Scheider as his dad, I loved that. I love Roy Scheider. I was really into it. And then that scene came along and just slammed on the brake. Yeah, we shouldn't talk about this right now.
And Princess Daisy was his wife.
Was Samantha Mathis his wife?
I think so, yeah.
Oh my God. I've completely forgotten.
If it's not, and I'm forgetting, she just kind of looks like her, but I don't remember.
You might be right. I don't remember. So,
anyways, fucking Ready to Rumble. Okay.
So we haven't even gotten into the opening monologue yet.
The opening monologue is coupled by all these crazy images of like wrestlers all bloodied up and shit.
Fantastic imagery. Like fantastic opening imagery.
I mean, like, this is a wrestling movie.
This is a great opening. Like, literally, this opening I can't defend this movie as being good. I really can't. If you watch this movie and you're like, that's a piece of shit, I have to agree with you. It's a piece of shit. I just love it. But you cannot argue that opening monologue over with those images over it, followed by the scene at the quick stop, I'm going to call it the quick stop, followed by the scene at the quick stop, that is not an amazing opening. You can't tell me that that's not an amazing opening. It is. It's absolutely fantastic. It may be all downhill from there, but that opening is magic.
It's not all downhill. I watched this twice over the past couple days, and it wasn't hard.
Shit, I might go home and just watch it again. I love watching this movie.
So Scott Conn is, you know, I mean Ryan Reynolds. I mean Ryan Gosling. I mean... Scott Gosling.
Don't make me come over there and smack you.
With your little Gosling.
I'll come across this table right now.
Squirrel nuts. and Sean is basically, Sean's Scott Conn's character, and he's talking about how cool this character, the king, is, this wrestler.
It is safe to assume that professional wrestlers are universally recognized as the greatest athletes of all time. Sammartino, Blassie, Gorgeous George the Animal Steel, Superfly Snuka, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan. These are heroes of history. Superior athletes, superior men. Giants come and go in this great sport of ours, but there is only one king, Jimmy King. Jimmy King is the greatest wrestler of all time. He's undefeated, and he holds the record for the longest winning streak in the history of professional wrestling. King says, and I quote, "People always said I was a dreamer, an idiot, and a waste of life, and I will never amount to anything."
Hey, jackass, you're a waste of life. Why don't you go amount to nothing somewhere?
Wrestling's not fake!
We have to set up Jimmy King because he's not a real wrestler. And yeah. I gotta say, right there, that is one of the few things about this movie that really irks me every time I watch it.
You mean Oliver Platt's not a real wrestler?
Oliver Platt is a wonderful actor. He really is. And that's clearly why they cast him, is because he's a good actor. The problem is he does not sell me on the wrestling for one single second.
Nope.
Not for a second does he sell me on this wrestling. Whoever his stunt double is does a good job.
It's Chris Canyon.
Is that a real wrestler?
Yes.
Yeah. Does not surprise
not
more. Me.
Because, he's dead, but yeah.
Does not surprise me because the falls he takes and stuff like that are tip top. But Oliver Platt, when it's on his face and he is doing the move, get the fuck out of here.
It's a little weird.
And he's such a good actor. That's what breaks my heart. He really is a good actor.
So this whole opening scene leads to something really funny. So the guy who runs this shop is a fucking dickhead. Scott Conn is just telling these kids about how cool Jimmy King is.
It's Frank Zappa's youngest son, I think.
But he's like, you guys are all stupid and wrestling's for assholes. Fuck you. Wrestling sucks. And, you know.
And he's really shitty to the little kids.
Especially
Scott,
the little
kids.
Scott
Conn is kind of playing
yeah,
to.
Yeah, he like throws their bike at him and stuff. Oh, man, what a dick.
He's such a tool.
And then Gordy, played by, what's his fucking name?
Fucking David Arquette, man.
Gordy does something really weird. Like, Sean looks at him and goes, hey, man, you a little help here? And then Gordy has this, like, slushy thing, and he's drinking it, but then he just stands up like a zombie. And I thought he was going to fuck with the kids because I hadn't seen this in forever.
And there's this like, great, like, the way the sound comes in on it is like he's in some sort of trance. It's great.
And then he's like, I need... He goes to the counter
dude, I can do this
in the thing. Oh, do it.
I can
go
do
for
this
it.
One verbatim.
Do it.
He walks up to the counter, slam, and this is all done in super wide angle close up, right? Not fisheye lens, but real wide angle close up.
No, you can really tell this is year 2000 we're dealing with here.
Yeah, this particular part, and he's clearly in an altered state of reality. The colors are all different. It's wonderful. He walks up. Slams his cup down on the counter. Frosty sugar slush. King size. And then the guy behind the counter goes, that'll be $1.26. And he does that voice and everything. Just like, clearly we're in wrestling mode now. Then he busts out $1.25. $1.25. That's all I got. Well, that's just not good enough now, is it, you little boob? You little Jimmy the King fan boob. Jimmy King's a big fat loser. He's a sissy in tights. There's a lot of glare coming off that dome of yours. Squirrel nuts! And then he starts Dweezil's brother. Starts slapping his head. Like, all right, sunshine. I'm going to open up a can of whoop-ass on you, boy. And then Arquette's like, bring it on! And then they both grab each other. He grabs him, slams his head into the counter, rips him over the counter, and then they're in a ring in the middle of the fucking quick stop. It's beautiful. I love this scene so fucking much. I've watched it so many times.
And then the Macho Man shows up. And apparently Oliver Platt was really doing some wrestling stuff with him, and he accidentally punched him in the face.
Yeah, there's a clip at the end where he swings on him just, oh, shit.
And the Nitro girls show up, and yes,
oh my
despite
God.
WCW, see, the reason this movie doesn't make a lick of fucking sense, like at all, because WCW was supposed to be the more family-friendly show, yet we have the Nitro girls,
yeah.
We have this movie, which is very clearly going to, you know, aiming for that American Pie gross out
oh, for sure.
crowd, even though it's PG-13.
Oh, yeah, know? I mean... Yeah, like in the very next scene, Gordy's like fingering his asshole, not in a sexual way, but still, that's pretty over the top. I mean, this is a gross movie in
yeah.
a lot of ways.
And the only thing I can think of is that the Attitude Era, like at the time, so it was called the Monday Night War, right? Have you heard of that?
It sounds familiar, but I'd be lying if I said I was familiar.
So, you know, WWE, WWF at the time. Had right. Monday Night Raw, right? And it was their Monday show, and
shit, that's right.
They'd had it since like 93 or something.
Yeah, and then WCW had Monday Night
then
Nitro.
Then WCW comes in like 96, 97 and says, fuck it, we're competing right across from you guys, same time slot and everything. So that
Oh, man,
that,
this is before TiVo, too, so you yeah. couldn't TiVo one
yep.
and watch
nope.
the other.
This started the Monday Night Wars.
Oh,
so
man.
While Eric Bischoff's entire thing was just to beat WWF, which is the entire
reason.
That's
probably the downfall right there.
It is, and like eventually they did, right? And apparently WWF came awfully close to closing, which doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know how business works, apparently.
Really?
Wow. I'm like, that's so not true, but it can't be true. But they just said, okay, fine, fuck it. We got to do something, so... They're like, they're going to go PG-13, like that hard PG-13.
Yeah, this movie rides the line.
Yeah,
this,
not like WWE did it, though, with their, they had the Godfather with his Ho train, and they had D-Generation X.
His Ho train?
Yes, he had hoes. And,
oh, my God.
And I've probably told this story.
I was evangelical at the worst possible time to be evangelical.
I probably told this story on the show before, but I was so fucking appalled by WWF, it freaked me out because I was a very innocent child. So I'm watching WCW. I don't remember what the fucking show was. I can't remember, but I remember flipping it over to USA to see Monday Night Raw for a minute. And what does my innocent self see? A girl deep-throating a giant salami, and the fucking...
What?
The Godfather is in the ring. What? And he's like, this is one of my hoes.
Oh, my God.
And I am fucking terrified, and I'm like, okay, what's Goldberg up to this week? I'm gonna go over there. Who's the NWO gonna beat up today?
Oh, my God.
But it wasn't all that. A lot of it was great. You had The Rock, and you had Stone Cold, and
yeah.
D-Generation X, and the Hart Foundation, and Bret Hart with his limited personality was kind of, I feel like he was kind of misplaced. Like, it was a little weird to have him in the Attitude Era, but it's okay. It worked. Bret Hart's the greatest.
I still haven't watched that. I got to watch that documentary.
Oh, well.
So I'm not very familiar with Bret Hart. I'll tell you. I bought it because... I know Bret Hart's name,
right.
And because I know it's a wrestling documentary, so it's going to be compelling.
But yeah, so eventually all that Monday Night War shit. So, but okay, the point that I was trying to make, I guess, is that WCW kind of catered to the younger audience, sort of. Like they kind of did the 13 to 36 or whatever, but they were like, there's no blood and all that shit. Uh-huh. But then here we are in 2000, Eric Bischoff's gone, and they're like, fine, fuck it, let's cater to that same audience, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, the language, they were really riding that PG, like, what you could get away with on TV hard.
There is a fuck in here. You get your one PG-13 fuck.
Where's the PG-13 fuck?
Or when Sinclair's talking to when Sinclair's talking to Sting, he says, don't fuck this up.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which is funny, because Sting is, like, this super Christian guy, and I'm like, yeah, to say that to him, huh?
It is funny that if he's super, like, yeah, I don't know, like, did he start out super Christian, or did he become super Christian?
No, he was an alcoholic for years, and then eventually, you know, he did that thing.
Because, like, his whole personality is kind of based around the Crow.
At this point, yes.
Which
the
would
NWO,
be unusual.
Yeah, the NWO hit, right? And then Sting, they started, like, picking on Sting, basically, kicking his ass. He was one of the guys in the ring at the time when they turned. He was tag-teaming with... It was like a triple threat match. You had Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, who had come over from WWF. And it was like an invasion, right? Because they weren't Diesel and Razor Ramon. They were their real names, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall. And the story goes that they were contracted with WWF, but they were here to fuck shit up, right?
Oh, okay.
So it was great. I'm like, that's a great fucking idea. And then they kept talking about this third man that they have inside WCW, right?
Okay.
I feel like we're not going to get to a lot of the movie here, but that's okay, because I like talking about WCW. And it was a tag match at Bash at the Beach, or one of those fucking pay-per-views, and it was Sting when he was still colorful, and the Macho Man, and Macho Man had face paint on and shit.
Okay.
And eventually Sting got his ass kicked out of the ring, and then Scott Hall and Kevin Nash are kicking his ass, and then here comes Hulk Hogan walking down the aisle, and everybody's like, fuck yeah, Hogan's coming to save his buddy. And then Scott Hall and Kevin Nash just kind of hang back. They're like, oh shit. And then Hogan fucking leg drops Macho Man in the middle of the ring, and people fucking lost it.
Ooh.
Because he'd been a good guy. He'd been a good guy for over a decade.
Betrayal.
Right? What a great moment.
Is that when he became Hollywood Hogan?
Yes.
Okay.
Wrestling is about moments. Like, matches don't matter as much as these huge moments do.
That's fair.
And that's...
Which is probably why they pulled one of the greatest moments in wrestling history for this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that, too. I forgot to ask you at the beginning of the show, why does it look like you have your finger in your butt? But I forgot. So, I just said that.
Oh, missed opportunity.
Yep. Because I do, is the answer. And this is one of those things that I remember from when I was a kid watching this. So he puts his finger in his butt. He's like, I'm going to go get a new slushie because this one's all, I drank it all.
Oh, no, yeah. Scott Kahn, Sean, is like, hey, man, I'm thirsty too. I would have liked some.
That's right.
And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I'll go get you another one. Because apparently the whole fight thing was just a brain freeze hallucination.
Yeah, yeah, he had a brain freeze. That's right. So he goes in.
So he shoves his finger up his ass.
Such a 1994 joke. I think I've seen it in another movie, because that's a lot of what this movie is just stealing shit from better movies.
Yeah, that's fair. But if you're going to steal shit, steal funny shit.
I mean, I guess steal the best part from Mallrats. I mean, maybe not the best part, but, you know, the most iconic part from Mallrats.
Hey, man, Mallrats was, I'm not saying Mallrats hadn't hit or anything like that, but Mallrats, you know, still like had a cult audience. This was going, trying to bring it to the bigger, wider world.
This was about the time that I saw Mallrats for the first time, I think. But yeah, so he brings the cup in there, and he's like, I need a new slushie or whatever the fuck this thing is. There's something wrong with this one. The guy's like, what? What is it? And he's like, I don't know. It smells like ass or some shit. What does he say? Like,
smell? I don't know. Smell it. And then he pulls his hand out of his pants, grabs the top of the slushie, and shoves it right under the dude's nose. He's like, It smells like my ass, right?
It's so stupid. This is why nobody took David Arquette seriously for like 2 decades. Fucking A.
This
movie's
so ridiculous.
Like, he's in this great horror franchise, and then this. And then Eight-Legged
Freaks. As the comic
and,
relief, mind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he still had some, he was still kind of a badass in that when he had to be. And then here he is just screaming and.
I don't think it was until 2 that he became kind of formidable.
But he survived in the first one. So that's
he survived
good
with a knife in his back. He survived in spite of
yeah,
the circumstances.
Exactly. So the finger in the butt. Also, the cops come when Gordy's inside fucking around, and it happens to be Gordy's dad.
Yeah.
But Sean gets the shakedown from the cop. He's like checking him. He's like, you got any drugs on you or something? And then he starts feeling up his leg, and he feels up in between his legs, and he's like, what's that? He's like, those are my nuts. And then what does he say? He says, I can't remember what he says, like, to reverse the joke. The cop's like, you should be a cop or something. He's like, you want me to feel your nuts? You want me to grab
no,
your nuts?
Like, have you ever considered like wearing a badge or something? You could be on the other side of this. He's
yeah,
like,
you want me to grab
you
your
grabbing
nuts?
Your nuts?
And then one of the biggest trailer moments from that time is, I remember this, Gordy comes out, sees his dad, and his dad, you know, shakes him down too, gives him the pat down, sees the wrestling magazine. And he's like, you know, wrestling's fake, right? And then, you know, then we cut to them going to work. And this song is going to haunt me forever. You haven't seen my band play in a while. We play this at every show.
This is kind of the theme song of the movie. Like, they cut to it twice.
It's My Own Worst Enemy by Lit, by the way. We play it better because it's faster, because we tried playing it as slow as these guys do, and it's boring as fuck.
I don't know. I can't imagine that guitar lick working faster.
It does.
I can imagine working fast.
We don't play it like punk rock fast.
Okay.
Maybe
I'm speeding it up too much then.
It's just a little faster enough to keep the momentum going, so I don't have to be like dun 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 dun.
Suffice
dun,
to say, they apparently did not just get the audio for this, but according to Arquette in the audio commentary, which I've listened to several times, they actually hung out with Lit during the shooting of the movie and got along famously, I guess.
So what do Gordy and Sean do together for work? They empty shitters.
Yep. If your shitter's full, call them.
And they got tickets to Monday Night Nitro.
I can't get past the scene when they're eating their burgers.
Ew. And they're just, it's just like dripping
out. And
that
thing is just dripping. It's like you can't take your eyes off it. It subverts the entire scene.
So I'm pretty sure the only reason this movie happens is because there's a shitter cleaner's curse, because Sean, after they're done cleaning the porta potties,
right.
Sean has to go take a shit, and he's like, he looks at Gordy and says, don't do it. And we're just like, what the fuck? What's he going to do? Like, is he going to spray shit at him or something? No, the exact opposite. Sean goes in there and Gordy plugs the thing in, and apparently it's like sucking it down. So he's trying to suck his asshole out, basically.
While Sean's on the pot.
And Sean said that if he did it, King will get hurt tonight when they go to Monday Nitro. So this is all fucking Gordy's fault.
And Gordy, after Sean goes into the porta potty,
nothing can hurt the King.
Yeah, nothing can hurt the King.
Oh, the drive-thru scene is also, there's a lot of funny scenes. I'm going to have to jump around, but all these scenes are make me laugh. They go to the drive-thru of this restaurant. There's this girl named Brittany.
Oh my God.
She's like, what can I get you? And then our guest's like,
Sean wants Brittany's taco. The cheese all over.
Stop.
Poor
Stop.
Viewer.
I should have smelled it was you. What do you guys want?
Hi, Brittany. I'm sorry. Can I please have a cheeseburger maxi meal?
And the Brittany Barrett's buffet.
Please! The red eye circle!
What did you say?
He said that he wanted the Britney's pasta sombrero.
Stop!
Did you just say?
We're gonna pull up now!
Why?
Why don't you just ask her out, man?
How's my hair look?
Is it the finesse?
You're driving a truck full of ash juice. I wouldn't worry about your hair.
Arquette is so over the top in this movie, and I love it. It's my favorite part of the movie, aside from that, like that opening sequence. But that is all part of it too, because he's so over the top in that.
My 13-year-old self is just laughing his ass off because that joke is so funny. He says all sorts of other shit.
It's so ridiculous.
But then there's this other girl working there. Her name is Wendy, and she's just like cute. She's cute. She's cuter than Brittany, actually. Cute. But Sean can't go out with her because it'd be super gay.
Because she's almost like one of the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of casual homophobia getting tossed around in this movie.
It's the year 2000.
Welcome to the year 2000, folks.
What are you, fucking Silverchair? Yeah, they had a song that says,
really?
Welcome to the year 2000 or some shit.
I was just thinking of the Conan O'Brien sketch. In the year 2000. Which they
of course
until,
you would
like,
think about the sketch.
Or something.
The sketch comedy, that's you. Why don't you start a sketch comedy troupe, you fucking loser?
I guess because I don't trust myself enough.
Do it.
With improv.
Do it, pussy.
Maybe I should take some improv classes.
Do you think they improv on Saturday Night Live? No, they write that shit. Write it.
No, those guys all come from improv because you have to have improv in order to make something like that work because it's written on the fly and there are so many changes.
That's halfway true, but just do it, man. Don't be a pussy.
All those sketch comedy guys come from improv.
What would King do? He would not start a comedy troupe.
He'd probably get trashed. And maybe some Vicodin? I don't know. I'm not sure what he was on.
The What Would King Do bracelets aren't really that important. I mean, I guess they are because they do the bracelets. They're eating the burgers.
It's just a dumb... Yeah. You had to have been there. In the late 90s,
What Would Jesus Do?
WWJD, that was fucking everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah, so they now have What Would King Do bracelets, and it's adorable. We see the old lady from The Wedding Singer and Wedding Crashers.
Oh, she in that too?
Yes.
I only saw Wedding Crashers one time.
She's a super sweet old lady in the Wedding Singer. She's a horrible, racist, homophobic old lady in Wedding Crashers.
Oh, so she's got range.
Yeah, she's the same lady in everything.
It's just the dialogue. That's the only thing that changes. She's the same, just different dialogue.
Yep. Gordy's whole family is cops, his mom, his sister, his dad, his sister... His parents are all proud of his sister because she shot her first perp in the ass today or whatever.
Just doing her job.
Just doing her job. Gordy needs to be back by 11 because he's got a fucking police exam tomorrow.
Spoiler alert. Gordy does not make it back by 11.
They go to Monday Night Nitro, the match that they're watching. They have shitty seats because, of course, it's a comedy. You can't have good seats. It's Rey Mysterio and Kidman versus, I think it's Juventud Carrera and Prince Iaukea.
Okay, who was that little blonde dude, bleach blonde dude? That move, and I know that move became famous, that jump up and swing around on his legs around the dude's neck and then whip him down. That move became famous. This was the first place I ever saw it.
That's
and
a hurricane. Like, that's a Hurricane Rana. That's a...
What the fuck did I just see? That's one of the best moves I've ever seen.
That's a Lucha Libre move.
That is an amazing move.
That's Rey Mysterio. There was a thing where they unmasked him and he wrestled without his mask for a year or two.
Oh, okay.
So fucking stupid. See, again, this is like, they're just trying to fuck with us at this point. They're subverting expectations because Juventud Guerrero, also wore a mask, and for some reason he got fucking unmasked. All the Lucha Libre wrestlers got unmasked at some point. It was weird.
That feels like the level of borderline racist disrespect that they would treat guys with back
and then
in the
Ray,
late 90s, early 2000s.
Ray went to WWE and he's like, in my contract, I am not taking this fucking mask off. I'm like,
good for him.
Good call. And he never did. There was one time I was watching and I think he was wrestling Alberto Del Rio, who's a real piece of shit in real life. But the story was for him to rip his mask off and he did. So he just like covered his face. I'm like, oh God, that was so fucked up. It was good. Anyways, Nitro Girls with an extra Nitro Girl who's not really a Nitro Girl,
yeah,
but is Gordy's sister in another universe. She is Sasha.
So much Rule 34 could have been made if the internet had been more popular at the time.
She's Sasha, the hottest Nitro Girl, apparently. So Joey Pantoliano, I don't
which
know
is how- saying something because there is not a not hot one among them. Not a single one. Speaking of which, there's a Nitro Girl profile for every Nitro Girl on the DVD. I have watched all of them.
Of course you have. For some reason, I don't remember being that into the Nitro Girls back in the day.
I wasn't that into most of them, but there were a couple of them that I was like, okay, all right, I could see watching the show just for this.
I watched it for Goldberg, man.
All right, you know, I'm not going to try and argue Goldberg.
I was a huge Nash fan back in the day, too.
I was probably hornier than you were at that age.
Yeah, maybe. I jerked off to Britney Spears.
I was like 21 years old, so, man, I was like in my prime.
I was jerking off to Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera at the time, so I think I got my fix before Nitro started.
That's fair.
I was ready for...
Oh, shit, no, that's right. You were...
13 at this point.
Oh, God, no. You know what? You probably were hornier than me because, I had other shit to do as well.
Yep.
Yeah, just at 13, man.
Whew. Spanking the spanky...
That's spanking it so much you dry firing.
Spanking the peacock. Anyways, Joey Pantoliano, I don't know how to fucking say his name.
Pantoliano.
Joey Pants.
Joey Pants.
He's playing the role that Eric Bischoff was supposed to play, but he got fired shortly before this. So there you go.
I'm not complaining. I love Joey Pantoliano. He's fantastic in pretty much everything he's in. So I have a hard time thinking of anything that I haven't liked him in.
He is playing, or he is telling DDP, Diamond Dallas fucking Page, the finish to the match that he's going to have with Jimmy King tonight.
That DDP does this look into camera, which is one of the only... Another one of those very few things I don't like about this movie is his into camera look.
That's just his face, man.
No, but he looks directly into the lens. He's like, whatever you say, bro, and then...
Well, he does that in a second when Sinclair ends up pulling him aside, but Goldberg overhears, like, some of the stuff.
Oh, yeah, no.
Goldberg
Sinclair's,
overhears the
Sinclair's
finish that's supposed to happen.
For Goldberg's sake.
But he pulls him aside and says, this is what's going to happen. We're going to put the belt on you tonight and something, you know, shit. Then we cut out to the ring and it's Mean Gene Okerlund, the fucking best ring announcer ever.
Yeah, the ring announcer I grew up with.
So he's going to introduce the main event here, which is Jimmy King and DDP, of course. The announcers are Mike Tenay and Tony Schiavone, those iconic voices from the WCW days. Tony Schiavone, I think he announces for like softball games. And Mike Tenay ended up going to TNA.
I have no idea about these guys. I mean, they're perfectly fine announcers. I don't have any complaints about them, but they are not familiar to me in any way. Mean Gene, on the other hand, super iconic.
I tried to write down Bam Bam Bigelow because he's one of the wrestlers that accompanies DDP to the ring.
Uh-huh.
But it auto-corrected to Bam Bam Big Slow. It's Bam Bam Bigelow and Sid Vicious, who wrestled in WWF as Psycho Sid. They're there because they should be, I guess. And then the world-renowned wrestler, Oliver Platt, comes out. His first appearance is Jimmy King.
Oh, I mean, we've seen him before on the cover of a magazine earlier in the movie.
Like, he's a big dude, so, like, that part works.
He is. He is a big guy, but he's not... Yeah, he just doesn't move like a wrestler at all. Like, not even a little.
And then two other wrestlers, Conan and Perry Saturn, are in the ring.
Okay. I have no idea who they are.
You weren't fucking there, man.
No, I was not.
You absolutely had to be there. Conan, he had a finishing move. It was a submission move called Tequila Sunrise. And Saturn had, I think it was like the same fucking move, and it was called the Rings of Saturn. Cool. And then I can never remember the referee's name, but they called him Little Nate because he was Ric Flair's protege for a minute. Ric Flair was also with
WCW
at the time.
Waiting for responses from me. Like, yeah. I have something to say about these guys. I do not.
You're right. You suck
There's
at improv.
There's like four guys that I know anything about. I would love to yes and you, but...
Ric Flair's with the company at this point, but he was embarrassed. He didn't like the company, so he was probably like, I'm not doing your fucking movie. Fuck off.
Wow, that's funny. Yeah, I feel like Ric Flair is such a big like household name. You would want to put him front and center. Or if not front and center. I mean, I know Goldberg was probably bigger at that time, but like at least have him featured prominently.
I think he hated Vince Russo, so anything that Vince Russo did, he was just like, no, I don't want to.
Was Vince Russo behind the brain behind this thing?
This was 1,000% a Vince Russo thing. I can almost 100% guarantee that. The match goes on and it seems normal and you hear him like talking like, oh, good spot, do this, you know, do this thing. And then they get the nod from Sinclair. Well, DDP gets the nod from Sinclair. And then Paige starts fucking beating the shit out of Jimmy King for like realsies.
Yeah, King's like, all right, give me this or something, you know, some move or something. And DDP's just like, bam!
And it turns into a real fight, which I got to say, the action in the movie is pretty good because you got the real wrestlers doing most of it.
And DDP can wrestle. Yeah. You don't have to cut away from him every shot.
And then, you know, eventually King starts to fight back a little bit. And then you hear Gordy from the crowd going, kick his leathery ass, which made me happy.
Gordy's got some great lines in this sequence. The line, and apparently this came straight from something they heard a fan yell at an event.
What, where kick his leathery ass thing?
No, where he goes, this isn't even a pay-per-view!
Yeah. Because this match starts to get serious real fucking quick. Paige's goons come to the ring and they're going to fuck up King some more. There's all sorts of these motherfuckers out there. And then the King's court or the King's men or whatever, they come to the ring too. And it looks like they're going to help him out. But no, they start fucking kicking the shit out of him too.
Betrayal!
And also Mr. Perfect is there, I said. Remember Mr. Perfect?
Nope.
Get the fuck out of here!
I'm sorry, my wrestling lexicon is extremely limited.
I am naming some of the most famous fucking wrestlers in history.
I know you are. I know you are.
Mr. fucking Perfect. He was Kurt Hennig in WCW, but still. And then they perform what is called the Four Post Massacre, which I don't think I've ever actually seen on TV.
That looks wrestling. Like it would be extremely hard to do.
Super dangerous. It's when four guys are on one of each of the corner turnbuckles, and then they jump on them.
Like, it would be so easy to overcorrect on that and just bam, head first right into the guy on the other side. Looks great in the movie, though.
And then this is where Gordy yells, this isn't even a pay-per-view. So Gordy and Sean, they're going to cry on the way home, but they're pretending that it's allergies because they're men. It's stupid allergies, man. Stupid, cheating, Sinclair allergies.
They're taking it so hard.
They think it's real, man. It's real to them, damn it.
It is real to them, yes.
And of course, they're crying so hard, they crash their shit truck. This is just more gross out humor. Eventually a toilet paper truck comes. It's fucking stupid.
What are the odds?
Gordy, though, has a weird epiphany about it because now they have to walk home because they crashed their truck, so they can't get...
Oh, mind you, they're walking home after the toilet paper truck crashes into their sewage truck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And blasts not only the sheriffs and the fire department, but also them with liquid shit. And then they're just walking home, hitchhiking like it's no big deal.
130 miles back to Lusk or wherever they're from.
Lusk, Wyoming.
So Gordy has this epiphany, though, about saving King. And he's like, don't you think it's weird that we were at Raw tonight of all nights and that our shit truck just crashed here tonight, you know? So they're going to try and save
This is so 20-something thinking. Like,
yeah.
We have to have a destiny. It has to mean something because we are meant for greatness.
Remember when we had hope?
Yeah, yeah. I remember the day it died.
And were you watching this movie? No, because you liked this movie. Never mind.
No, yeah, I enjoy this movie.
This is another trope. They hitch a ride with nuns.
The farting nuns.
Also, I don't know when it came out, but Jay and Bob also hitch a ride with a nun.
Oh, that's true.
It came out in 2000. It's at this point where they start playing the score to the movie, and I'm just like, why the fuck does this sound like the Mighty Ducks? I know exactly why it sounds like the Mighty Ducks. Do you know why it sounds like the Mighty Ducks?
Did they just rip the Mighty Ducks score?
No, because Stephen Brill also wrote this movie, and he wrote the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, the lawyer guy from Mighty Ducks.
Yep.
He wrote this.
Yep.
I was not aware of that.
So apparently there's also some crossover with the music department since he's involved. I don't know if that's true. It just sounded Mighty Ducks-like to me.
Sounds plausible.
They end up teaching the nuns running with the devil.
One of the nuns knows it.
It was a fun, stupid scene. Really stupid. But they get dropped off by the nuns.
Also, little piece of trivia again from the commentary track. Scott Kahn, Dweezil Zappa taught Scott Kahn how to play Running with the Devil.
Yeah.
But Scott Kahn fucked it up.
Oh, you think? I was watching him play the guitar. I'm like, he's not even trying now, is he? They get dropped off at this gas station, and then Sean looks at Gordy and says, now, you got to be honest with me here. How many times did you fart in that van? And he's like, none, man. He's like, me neither. Like, They were the farting nuns. 2000s humor. But we're going to meet the Shermanator at this gas station, who happens to be playing a Jimmy King wrestling game.
I will rule you.
And he says that what happened at Nitro almost made him puke, but he can't puke because my dad says puking's for pussies.
I get a feeling that this kid's dad isn't awesome.
No, probably not. But he's going to help them out because he's going to figure out where King lives because they're where King, the in the city that he lives in, which is where? I can't remember.
Atlanta.
Well, that tracks, actually.
Because he can find anything on the net.
On the net? Because do people still call it that?
No, but in 2000, some did.
That's another thing that they do in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. They get on the internet.
Using the internet to progress the plot.
Yeah.
That's it. This movie is just Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back at Wrestling.
That is. It's the same fucking movie. I'm realizing, like, what the hell's happening? So they end up getting King's address, and they go to the King's castle, which is a shitty trailer, and they meet his wife, played by Carolyn Ray? Carolyn Rhea? Okay, Carolyn Ray. And she has crabs.
I gotta admit, maybe this is just one of my weird kinks, but if Carolyn Ray, at that time, I don't know now, I haven't seen her in a long
she
time.
Has not aged all
but
that much.
Carolyn Ray asked me if I wanted to see her crabs, I would say yes. I would be just like Gordy. I'd be like, awesome.
You ever see crabs up close? Ugh.
You won't see?
And then Sean's like, hey, we got work to do. Oh, God.
Just the excitement in Gordy's eyes. He's just like, you're fucking A right, I wanna.
And then, you know, they also find his, they meet his son for a second, but he's a dick.
The prince.
And he has, like, really shitty braces.
Catastrophically shitty braces. They're some of the most horrifying things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's okay. His kid's a dick anyways.
His kid is a dick. But, you know, in fairness, his
dad's also a dick.
Dad's also a dick. And his mom, probably a dick, too.
They find King's parents, and they seem like okay people, but...
David Arquette's real dad.
And the lady, who is she? I know her from
I don't know who she is. I know I've seen her before and shit, but I can't say what.
And I don't have time to look it up right now, so I'm not going to. So fuck it. She's just somebody you recognize, and if you want to know, fucking look it up, you piece of shit.
You will recognize her.
Stop being a lazy hoe bag.
Yeah, stop being a hoe bag.
Oh, sorry. Anyways, King borrowed his parents' motorhome. Borrowed his parents' motorhome.
God, I wish I could borrow... /keep my parents' motorhome.
They call the Shermanator again, and he looks up some more information on the King, and it's all this horrible shit, like he's filed for bankruptcy and he has like several illegitimate children, and then Sean's like, no, the King wouldn't do stuff like that. It's a conspiracy.
It's Sinclair. He's spreading misinformation. Shit like that. These guys are so deep.
Yeah. And then you hear Shermanator's dad going, get off the fucking phone. And he's like, yeah, hey, guys, I got to go because my dad says yakking on the phone's for pussies.
Get off the phone, you pussy.
Because that's a fun running joke. A little bit of emotional abuse. So now they found where King is staying in his parents' motorhome. They find him. He's dressed like a lady.
He's keeping it incognito.
You understand me? Mm-hmm. I made that damn league and he knows it. I put the damn butts in the damn seats.
Yeah, I know.
He's done exploiting me, so he plots a massacre with his pack of sissies and kicks me out for good. That's what happened.
That is so unjust.
That sucks.
Not like the rest of my life been a bowl of cherries either. But I just try and play the cards that's dealt me. Keep my chin up. Even though my wife just left me and my little boy's confined to a wheelchair. My mommy and daddy just passed.
We met your wife. And she says that you left her.
Not how I remember it.
And your son's not in a wheelchair.
Your parents aren't dead anymore either.
Good Lord. I am blessed. Praise him in all his mercies. Piss off. 5 minutes are up. Get out.
Wait,
I said get out!
But yeah, they eventually work their way in, even though he's not interested at first, because that's how these things work. They're like, we're going to help you. Can you kick us out? Can you kick our asses? You know, you better get out of here or you'll what? And his thing is, I will rule you, but he doesn't say it. He's like, how about you get my beer, you freaking morons?
Yeah, they tell him they'll do a beer run for him. And then they get outside and Sean's like, all right, so we're ditching this loser, right? And Gordy's like, no, he needs us.
they do get back, and King has to drop some knowledge on him that wrestling's not real. He's like, it's a clown show. This clown just got fired. That's all it is.
Gordy's like, greatest show on earth. They're so not picking up what he's putting down.
And eventually King kicks their asses, and then they're all excited about it because they're getting beat up by their fucking hero. And they're like, crown us, which is his special move, which he goes off the top rope and just like drops an axe handle on the dude's head.
David Arquette did say that his one regret about this movie is he worries that it makes wrestling fans look stupid.
Oh, everybody knew. It's fine.
And he feels bad about that because he loves David Arquette unironically loves wrestling.
Wrestling fans can be a little stupid.
They can. I've known some wrestling fans. And that's the nice thing about wrestling. It really does run the gamut, but it definitely there's definitely a large contingent of very stupid people who love wrestling.
I happen to be one of those stupid people who likes wrestling.
Nothing against them. Wrestling's wonderful.
So he knocks him out, and Rachel and I have this debate constantly. I say wakey wakey hands off snakey, and it's thanks to this movie. But she's like, it's eggs and bakey. I'm like,
because she's a Kill Bill fan.
I'm like, no, it's hands off snakey because that's way funnier. And I agree.
I agree. Hands off snakey is funnier.
Much less appropriate.
It will probably never supplant eggs and bakey for me just because that one is so iconic.
King agrees to allow these two the honor of helping him. And this song will never fucking die.
And we're right back. We're right back to lit.
So they go to Nitro in New York. So they sneak in, they sneak King in a porta potty because, you know, they know how that shit works. They're in the industry. Gordy spies on the fucking Nitro girls, gets caught by Sasha, and he's like, I'm just checking out your tits. I mean, the pipes in the wall, and they're really big.
And round.
And she's like, oh, thank you. Oh, and they keep saying they're naked, even though they're not at all.
Yeah, he's like, naked things. I mean, their abdomens and their thighs and their shoulders are naked, which, depending on the region of the world you live in, could be considered pornographic.
So they come up with a plan for King to basically jump out and kick the shit out of DDP when Gordy gives the signal, which is, woo! So Sinclair is giving an interview with DDP and making fun of King and stuff. Then they just happen to settle right outside of the porta potty that King's in.
Yep.
And King jumps out.
No.
Oh, because
King jumps out and knocks Gordy out almost.
Yeah. Gordy says something like, King's the greatest. And then
he only gets like two words out, and then King slams the door right into him.
And then he beats the shit out of DDP, which, like, holy shit, didn't see that coming.
No. But as he said, he suckered him.
But Bam Bam Bigelow and this wrestler named Van Hammer, which I'm like, holy fuck, I remember that name. But I'm like, that is not what I pictured that dude looking like in my head all those years ago. They come and kick the boys' asses, you know, Sean and Gordy, so whatever. But King ends up pinning DDP. It's like a fucking hardcore match.
Oh, and it's all live on camera.
It's all live on camera, yes.
Being
it's
broadcast out to the stadium full of fans.
Yeah, so that earns him a title match. But in a steel cage. And it's the dumbest fucking steel cage ever. We'll get to that later. And I wrote down, there's Disco Inferno, who is a wrestler. Was a wrestler. Is a wrestler. Yeah. Yes.
Disco I can't Inferno. Remember which one is Disco Inferno because I've never actually had him pointed out at a time when there weren't four other wrestlers around him.
He's the guy who looks like a disco dancer.
That honestly could have been several of the guys who were... Yeah, because none of them look super disco-y.
He's the guy who looks like a disco dancer that can't wrestle for shit.
Well, Gauntlet Throne, eh?
He was not a great wrestler. It was kind of a bummer. So now that they're all having a party, they're celebrating, and you can tell who the good guy wrestlers are. There's Booker T, there's fucking some other people out there.
Booker T comes back. I kind of expected him to be a little bit bigger in the movie.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have any lines or anything.
No.
And he never actually fights anybody. He's just... kind of runs up and is there.
It's because he's fucking Booker T. He just was hanging out that day and he just decided to be on camera.
They were like, hey, come be in the movie.
No, Booker T's great. We love Booker T. He's the funniest fucking commentator ever because
really?
He's out of his mind. So they're all partying and Sasha, the Nitro girl, the most Nitro of Nitro
the
girls.
The Nitroest of Nitro girls.
She comes up and talks to Gordy and goes, you know, basically says, hey, you're hot. I want to fuck your face. And then he tells her about the poster he has of her in his room.
Bullshit, by the way. He does not have that poster. I looked for it. He has a poster of her in a much more sedate pose.
So he's lying.
Because he kind of shows off a pose that I would love to see Rose McGowan. If she put out a poster in that, I would 100% have that up on my wall. But no, the poster he has of Sasha on his wall is way more mellow than that.
And this is another joke that would eventually get ripped off in Just Friends.
Oh, okay.
Sort of. I think it's just a joke that lands pretty easily. Low-hanging fruit kind of stuff.
Which one?
Which pose? Is it this pose or this pose? They do that with Samantha Cole or whatever the fuck her name is.
Oh, okay. I've never seen Just Friends.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, I'm aware of it.
Get
but
the
haven't
fuck
seen
out of here.
It's just one of those things, you know, it's like I wasn't into romantic comedies at the time. I wasn't into Ryan Reynolds at all at the time.
You're just jealous because he's prettier than you.
I am jealous because he's prettier than me, but I also had written him off because he's so pretty back then.
And he's pretty and he's fucking your girlfriend.
Boy. I just thought he was a pretty boy at the time. I don't know who you're talking about.
What's the chick that I don't really like very much from Butterfly Effect?
Oh, yeah. What is her name? It's blank. I'm blanking on it.
Even though you're like, oh, God, she's so hot.
She is super hot. Yeah, from and the Crank movies.
I want some of her tacos, por favor. So King is kind of on board for like 3 seconds here. This is really funny. He's like, he's going to start training, get some protein in there. So he cracks an egg, but also two shots of like,
yeah,
whatever liquor.
Two eggs and two shots.
And so he takes the shots, takes the egg, spits out the egg immediately.
And then it starts running. It's like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
And then it gets a little too slapsticky for me with the fucking manhole cover, but whatever.
That's pretty silly.
He falls into a manhole.
Not nearly as silly as the next scene.
When he gets pulled out of the fucking manhole
when they sing him that song. And the guy's like, how'd you boys know where he'd be? Oh, we're in the industry.
We're in the industry. That doesn't make any sense. They're not fucking sewer workers. They're goddamn porta potty unpluggers. WCW, up its own ass. Literally.
Jimmy King is the best wrestler. He's the bestler. Better than all the wrestler.
He's got class.
He's really fast.
He'll rule ass.
He'll rule that ass.
Jimmy.
La la da.
Jimmy King.
Something.
We're still kind of working on that end part.
So they wrote him that shitty song, and then King tries to run away, but that goes nowhere. That goes nowhere, because like then the next scene they're just fine again. They take him to a building with lots of screaming coming out of it. We're about to meet this guy named Sal Bandini, played by Martin Landau, right?
Academy Award winner Martin Landau. In full possession of his Academy Award at this point, by the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, at this point, what the fuck does he have to prove? He has an Academy Award. He can just do whatever he wants now.
Clearly having a lot of fun with this role.
Oh, yeah.
And he's terrific.
So when you watch that Wrestling with Shadows documentary, you'll hear this exact same thing coming out of Bret Hart's father's basement. It's called the Hart Dungeon, and he trained a lot of people down there, and he wasn't nice about it. He would just fucking tweak all these limbs on these people, and you could just hear him screaming and shit. Fucking terrifying.
Jesus.
So that's kind of, they made a Sal Bandini a much more lovable version of that guy.
Okay.
And it's not like he was abusing these kids. He was just like teaching them holds and how to wrestle and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, that's why Bret Hart was such a great wrestler, was, because thank you fucking Goldberg. Goldberg kicked him in the head really, really hard, gave him a concussion, which led to him having a stroke. Because Goldberg was a shitty wrestler, and that bums me out.
Didn't know how to pull his kick and make it look good.
I'm sure it was just a freak accident, so I'm giving him a hard time. But I think it's really funny that Bret Hart's career was ended by an injury when he never injured anybody in his entire career. That's kind of like his thing.
Because he's a good wrestler. Like,
yeah.
He knew how to do it and make it look good without actually hurting someone.
But he got hurt all the fucking time. Not all the time, you know. Like, but he had his fair share of injuries.
Because he's surrounded by goddamn amateurs.
Yeah. So we meet Sal Bandini.
Sal Bandini. Want to wrestle?
Neither of us could possibly do it justice. The way Landau delivers that line is perfection.
It is. It's great. Jimmy, though, doesn't know anything about real wrestling because he's not a real fucking wrestler. And not like Oliver Platt's not a real wrestler, but Jimmy King's not a fucking real wrestler, as far as we know.
I mean, the idea is that Jimmy King was basically a product that was sold, and And that, yeah, like he doesn't really know his stuff. He was just somebody who Sinclair felt he could manipulate properly.
And I love Oliver Platt's shitty Southern accent. Like almost everything he says is pretty priceless. It's really funny.
I love Oliver Platt. I just don't like his wrestling. That's the problem, is that I never buy him as a wrestler. I buy his character. I buy his acting. I buy him
so you
as like just a drunk who can't pull his shit together.
You don't think he's the bestler?
No, I do not.
He almost kills Sal, so we think, by kicking him in the face, because Sal's like fucking tweaking his arm, right, doing something weird to him, and he kicks him, and they're like, oh my god, you fucking killed him. And he's like, it was just a little flick, which, that makes me laugh. Just something about the way he says those words makes me happy. And then Sal wakes up and fucking kicks him in the nuts, because the half of this movie is just Oliver Platt getting kicked in the nuts.
There's a lot of nut shots in this movie.
And what does he say? Oh, something about a possum, and then Sean goes, did you have to squish the possum's nuts?
And then Mandini is like, kicking me in the face was the right move. Checking if I was okay? Not so much.
Gordy goes to Sasha's place with bananas because they're all out of fucking, or the flower store was closed or whatever.
This sequence... I love David Arquette's
this scene makes me
lines
happy.
So much. Buenos nachos. Gordy, I didn't know you spoke Spanish. Are you fluent? Nah, I feel fine.
I took it in high school a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So they're going to stay in instead of go out so they can, like, fuck and stuff.
Right,
so
choice.
They're eating, and he's telling her all about how they're training and stuff, and he's like, yeah, and I've been training alongside him, kind of like, and I've been picking up some really awesome moves as he's eating like a pig. And she's like, do you want to show me some of your awesome moves? And he's like, oh, yeah, I want to show you. And then he immediately grabs her and fucking like flips her over. And then, so given what we learn later, I'm not entirely sure what her reaction is, right? Because she like gets thrown on the floor and she goes, ooh, take me to the bedroom. Did she actually like that, or is she still playing? I can't tell.
Spoiler alert. Sasha is not in it for the right reasons.
Yeah. So what do you think? Was that a legit reaction?
No, I don't think it was legit. I think it was her going, what the fuck do I do now? He's going to kill me if I let him do that again.
But then he does take her into the bedroom. And she climbs on top of him. And I thought it was the funniest.
Foreign objects.
It was the funniest fucking thing when you said, hey, let's do Ready to Rumble. Because I had, when you suggested it, I had just gotten home from seeing WWE Live.
Uh-huh.
And they had a street fight. And they kept pulling out chairs and tables and shit. And I kept thinking about this scene. And I kept going, like, foreign objects. So when you suggested, I laughed, like, out loud. Because it was just perfect timing, because I kept thinking foreign objects. So she's on top of him and she's like, I'm going to unveil my secret weapons. And then she takes her tits out and then he screams foreign objects
and punches her in the face.
But apparently at least she might have had a good time that night. A little bit.
I don't know. She keeps going.
Yeah.
Like a champ.
We cut to a scene where Gordy sends a postcard to his dad saying, hey, I met this really nice girl and I'm not a virgin anymore.
And then his dad shoots the postcard. Well,
he hangs up the
all
postcard.
Around the postcard, okay. And then hits the postcard.
Which leads me to my next question. Why is all that stuff coming out of the fridge? Like, is it just in the door?
I think that's the idea, is but that, like, those bottles are in the are on the door.
Are they pressurized? Because, like, what
apparently,
the fuck?
Because that shit is just starts spraying out as if the fridge is literally filled with those liquids. And every single bullet hole is a different liquid, by the way.
He filled somebody with liquids last night.
Gordy did.
Boing. They take King to the gym where Goldberg is working out because the King is going to need some backup. What do they say? He's going to need a posse.
Yep. Going to need a posse.
Guess who?
And
makes,
there he is.
Guess who? Yeah. The one guy you fucking need. He's gigantic. Guess who's in this scene? A little cameo.
Goldberg.
John Cena.
What? Seriously? Yeah. How did I miss that?
It's a blink and you miss it. There's a guy like climbing into a weight set right behind Gordy and Sean and King. And that's John Cena with that douchey haircut.
Oh my God. I missed it completely. Was Cena wrestling at this point? Like,
I think
was he in it?
He was getting there. I think he was training at this point.
So he might have just like been at the gym when they were shooting and they were like,
that is a possibility.
Anybody cool with being in the scene?
Because he was a body, he did bodybuilding, I believe. I think that's a true part of his origin before he became a wrestler.
I mean, you don't get a body like that like on accident. That's an intentional move.
Oh, yeah, no. But no, you can see him in the background, but then it cuts away and then he's fucking gone. So they try to pitch Goldberg on the idea of being in King's corner. And he's like, fuck no, because you're a dickhead, you're an alcoholic, you kind of suck. You're a shitty wrestler.
And this is a scene where Oliver Platt's acting really comes into play, because he's got that, like, Goldberg is so not an actor. Like, it's difficult to watch him try and project against Oliver Platt, who is handling it so well.
You clearly do not watch wrestling enough, because I'm used to them acting like that.
I get that. And I'm not like, he's far from the worst I've seen.
He's not great, but not, I mean, like, close, he's carried a whole horror movie before. It's fine.
I have that movie.
Me too. I've seen it.
I haven't watched it yet, but I should have watched it on Christmas.
It's Santa's Sleigh, for anybody
S-L-A-Y.
Wondering.
I watched one scene from it on, like, TikTok or some shit, and was immediately on eBay finding a copy of the movie to buy.
I found it at a pawn shop years ago, so it's in the collection. So stupid.
Yeah, the only reason I didn't watch that this Christmas is because I forgot.
But yeah, Goldberg is definitely not interested. It's okay. Will
he's got this where he's talking about, you puked on me, and Platt does
because
this,
they were tag team partners.
Platt
for
does
a while,
this
yeah.
really honest reaction where he's like, the audience seemed to like it.
Yeah, that's all that really matters. Which is really fucked up when you think about it, because stuff like that has happened in real life. Jeff Hardy was so fucked up during the main event of this pay-per-view in TNA. It was in like 2011, 2012. He was so messed up. He was wrestling Sting. Sting had to fucking hold him down in the middle of the ring to win the match so they could just end it and be done. And then everybody's like, bullshit, bullshit. And Sting's like, I agree. I'm like, fuck. So yeah, he went to rehab for a while.
Well, that's good. I'm happy for him that he got straightened out. I hope he got straightened out.
I'm not entirely sure. It's been an ongoing thing for years and years. I think they're doing, him and Matt are doing good right now, but fucking chill out and stop doing drugs and just be awesome.
Yeah, definitely do that.
We cut to Sal's apartment. He's watching Kung Fu, because I'm pretty sure that was a Turner property, so they could just do that.
Yeah, they had to. They definitely wanted to keep it on budget.
And Ted Turner was the legit owner of WCW. Actually, at this time, I don't know if he was. Holy shit! The fucking history
of your entire
WCW
story is unraveling so fast here, Andrew.
He ended up selling it towards the end, and then they sold it to WWE for like $20. It was fucking weird. Chris Jericho said he's like, if I would have known how much they were selling it for, I would have bought it. Like, fuck, that's nice. Autocorrect again. Sal's getting attacked. He gets attacked.
Right.
It's kind of gross. So Sal gets attacked by these two wrestlers. It's Saturn again. And Psycho Sid, who is wrestling in WCW, is Sid Vicious, but it auto-corrected to Sid Viscous.
Yeah, I don't know. That hair was looking pretty viscous.
He's always looked like that. He still does that.
Really?
So, yeah.
Like a white man Jerry curl?
I think he might actually be crazy. He stabbed Arn Anderson a bunch years ago.
Jesus, seriously?
Yeah. But, you know, Sal Bandini, of course, he's like, I'm Sal Bandini, you want to wrestle and shit? And there's all sorts of shit going on, shenanigans, and eventually the dudes hit him with a chair, and then he's out, but he's not
he
dead.
He takes him
it's a
down
comedy.
Before they do, though.
He kicks the shit out of him. It's great. But they kick the shit out of him just a little tiny bit harder.
I love the following conversation with, or in a scene in a few minutes.
With Sinclair.
Sinclair's like 105, or... Yeah, Rose McGowan's
like,
I think
90.
He's like 100.
Like 100, yeah.
And Sinclair's like 105, if you can believe it. Don't tell that to fucking
Saturn Sid Vicious.
Sid Vicious, though.
They're at the hospital now. So it's Sasha, Sean, and fucking King and everybody. Gordy's like, I'm gonna go get Sal a Butterfinger. and then King goes up to Sean and goes, can I have a Butterfinger too?
No, he takes him aside like he's got something really important to say.
So fucking stupid. But it's that white trash accent that makes me so happy. I don't know what it is. It's just everything he says is funnier because of that.
I completely agree.
Gordy's at the vending machine getting the fucking Butterfinger, and Sasha is calling Sinclair, and she's like, hey, I'm ready to be fucking done. I've like, fuck the dude. They beat the shit out of this old 105-year-old man, whatever.
And Gordy overhears, unbeknownst to Sasha, but beknownst to us.
He kind of acts like nothing happened for a minute because they're talking to Sal, who actually gives a fairly compelling inspirational speech in such a dumb fucking movie.
It's kind of dumb, and it's not like it comes back around again, but no, they're going for that moment. And Landau can sell it, of course.
Yeah, exactly. He also tells them to just get out of town. Go back to basics for the training.
And this city's no place for a wrestler.
They're like, I looked at my next note and made me laugh. But but they know exactly where to go. They're in the parking lot. And is it Gordy? Who pats King on the chest? It's Gordy, right?
No, I think it's, or, oh, I think it's might Sean. Be Sean. I think yeah. Sean like, as they're like, smacks him in
going
the chest.
To the motorhome. And he's like, oh, dude, you crushed my Butterfinger, baby.
And then he grabs the Butterfinger and just chucks, not King. Yeah, Sean grabs the Butterfinger and just chucks it into space.
Because King's like, King's actually at this point going like, I'm going to get fucking killed. I don't want to do this.
Yeah. So they're trying to talk him into giving a fuck.
So as they're leaving, Gordy's about to get in the motorhome. And Sasha comes. She's like, where are we going? He's like, we're going back to basics to find our heart. And basically, you can't come because you don't have one.
Which and is, he slams the door in her.
You know
face.
What? Good line. I'm sold on that one.
It works in this movie.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't work if this wasn't a very specific type of movie, but it is.
I hate Kid Rock so much.
Cause I wanna be a cowboy, baby.
Not even the only Kid Rock song in the movie.
Yep.
Ugh.
We get two Kid Rocks.
They get to somewhere, wherever the king's wife is. Because they make a detour. King goes to see his wife and the kid on the way to back to Lusk. She kicks him in the dick. Because
multiple times.
Twice. Because, yeah, again, half this movie is just King getting kicked in the balls. He declares that he's going to win the belt and $1 million because that's what Sinclair said he could do. He said would happen if he won. And he's going to get his kid a damn good dentist because he has those shitty braces.
The scene where the kid reveals the... And Platt just like jumps back.
He's like,
Jesus Christ.
And the dad's like, you don't love me. You think I'm ugly. And of course, shit has to hit the fan. Right when we get back to Wyoming, fucking Gordy's dad comes and takes him away because he's got to go.
Literally as soon as
yes.
they step out of the motorhome.
I think Gordy's dad might be a little homophobic. And I
you think so?
He's like, you're not going to do that wrestling thing and touch boys or whatever the fuck
touch
he's
men
in.
Touch men
when he's the one grabbing his friend's nuts. So
yeah well, you know, it's like they say,
it's not gay when a cop does it.
The most homophobic people, what they really fear is themselves.
Gordy he's gonna study to take his cop exam. King and Sean come and they like come to his window and they're like, come on man, we gotta get back to the thing, we gotta do this. And even King's like, I can't do this without you and shit. And Gordy's like, no, I'm gonna stay, I've gotta grow up and shit.
But it means a lot to him that King said that.
We're getting all
like,
serious.
No, you got to leave or my dad will shoot you.
So then they have a King's Men audition, which is they're basically interviewing for the King's posse.
Which also goes nowhere. I mean,
not really.
They
like,
do find three people, but they never do anything in the entire course of the rest.
No,
of the
one of them. Are they all there?
They're
at the
all
end?
There.
Okay. It's the fire hose guy and the chewer who spits a lot.
I'm the fireman. I'm going to hose you.
Oh, Fireman Fred.
Fire Fred, that's right. I'm Fireman Fred.
And I'm going to hose you. That sounds dirty.
And then Pretty Kitty.
A Pretty Kitty, yes. And he's like, dude, I like her.
What's she going
to
do?
Boob him to death? And then they steal another fucking gag here.
The
Oklahoma thing. The dude comes in and sings Oklahoma. And then he goes, isn't this the audition for Oklahoma?
Where?
Bring it on.
Really?
Yeah.
That was in Bring It On?
Yeah.
It's been forever.
The dude comes into the cheer tryouts and starts singing Broadway or whatever, and they're like, what's with the song? And he's like, isn't this the audition for Pippin?
My God.
Yeah. That one's like...
But wait. I thought Bring It On came out in like 2001.
99, I think.
Oh, shit.
Now I need to check just to make sure that I'm not full of shit.
This is pretty shameless. I'm okay with it, though.
Oh, Bring It On did come out in 2000. Okay.
Because I like this better than all those other movies.
Okay, now we got a...
Well, no, I like this better than all those other movies, even Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh, fuck. You know
I
what?
Like Mallrats better. I'll say I like Mallrats better.
I don't know how to tell myself this, but I think there may be I might be full of shit. Bring It On came out in August. Oh, God, here we go. Am I gonna be wrong? Oh, fuck, I'm wrong. This came out in April.
So,
oh,
significantly
shit.
Before.
Fuck.
Everybody's been ripping off Ready to Rumble. That's what's happening.
And Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back came out in 2001. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, fuck. We have to go back and do this whole thing over again. I am in distress. I am wrong. I apologize.
They were all ripping off Ready to Rumble.
But you know what? I don't really apologize. Go fuck yourself.
This movie was such an innovator that literally ones of movies.
Two. Two movies.
Yeah, that's in the ones. We haven't gotten into the tens or the dozens.
Oh, I gotcha.
So it's the ones. Ones of movies.
Fuck.
Have ripped it off.
Damn, now I feel stupid. Our credibility is completely fucked.
Watch. It's going to turn out Mallrats came out in like 2004. I'm kidding.
Jesus Christ.
I'm kidding.
That would fuck with me in ways that I just... Nope. Anyways, so I'm sorry. Okay, let's move on before I fucking go and drive my car off a bridge or whatever. Time to go to Vegas, because that's where all the things happen. As they're leaving, the hot girl from
the
hot girl tries to pick him up.
Oh, no, that's right. Brittany yeah. tries to pick Sean up.
She tries to show him her taco, por favor. But he's just like, nah, fuck you. And then he goes to the cute girl and says, here's a Hard Rock Cafe shirt. Let's fuck. Not exactly.
He doesn't say that. He's like, I got you something. And then she sees it and she's like, I got you something too. He's like, really? What? And she's like, this, and takes him into the RV.
You know, then Gordy shows up and we think he's going to rejoin his friends, but he's not. He's just saying goodbye.
And giving everybody a hug. And his dad is gritting his teeth while he's
hugging
a man.
Because, yeah, King even showed, King's there, obviously, and he's, you know, it's a nice little sentimental moment. He's like, thank you. I couldn't have done this without you. I wish you were coming, but it's okay. Because Sean's coming, and he's, like, really coming.
He's coming,
right now.
Coming in more ways than one.
Into my NWO blanket. They just leave her in the middle of the road with a fucking NWO blanket, and that's all she has to wear.
Yeah, she's not carrying any of her clothes, so
but
apparently
she just left them
in the RV.
So we're at the show now. It's the Royal Bash, which is
pay-per-view, baby.
Which is not a real pay-per-view, baby.
But it's a pay-per-view in this movie.
Sinclair is talking to Sting, and he's telling him
the idea that they set up a pay-per-view in 4 weeks and got this kind of a turnout.
My guess is that they set up the main event in 4 weeks, and it was going to be the Royal Bash anyways.
Okay, that may be.
You need to fucking watch wrestling. What the hell's wrong with you? Yeah. So we're at the show. We're at the Royal Bash. Sinclair is talking to Sting, and he's telling him that he needs to keep King from getting the belt. So in a second, we'll see the cage, and it's this triple-decker cage. So the first layer is normal, and then you have to climb up to the second layer, and then you have to climb up to the third layer, and on top of the third layer, there's the belt hanging there, and I'm like, just put a ladder down there and tell everybody to shut up. And there is a ladder, actually, because they have to climb up.
Yeah, they had to get a ladder out so that they could climb up to the second level, and then the second level had a ladder built in so that they could climb up to the third level, and then the third level you had to go outside and climb up to the top.
They did this match twice in real life.
Really?
Yeah. Once on Nitro and then once on a pay-per-view that I can't remember. I need to watch the pay-per-view. I really want to see it.
Okay.
Because it's so stupid. And this is where we get our PG-13 F-bomb when Sinclair's walking out of the room and he's like, don't fuck this up. Sean is dressed like a pimp for some reason. I'm not entirely sure what his...
Because he's the manager of the team. So
well,
he's
I got gotta, that part.
He's got to have an identity. He's got to put on the show, right?
Oh, my God. We forgot a detail when they're talking to their parents, and I misread a note, and then it reminded me where when Sean and Gordy are talking to King's parents, and they talking about, in his authorized biography, he says that...
Oh, yeah. No, the mom says that he dropped out of high school.
Yes.
In his authorized biography.
It says that he worked really hard in school, and then when you died in a plane crash, and he's pointing to his dad. I missed that part. That's on me. It was really funny. I apologize. Your parents aren't dead anymore.
Praise him in all his mercy. I can't even do close to the accent that Oliver Platt does.
He sounds like a less gay Glenn.
A little bit, yeah.
Why does Glenn sound like that? He's from Canada.
Southern accent is ubiquitous. That's not strictly Southern.
I don't think it is.
No, it is. It is. It's all over the place.
In China?
Well, in English-speaking countries.
They speak English in China.
But I mean, where it's their first language.
It's got to be some people's first language.
In China?
White people that moved there from America.
Well, there's probably some people with some southern accents there then.
Anyways, I'm splitting hairs. Anyways, okay.
You think nobody with a southern accent ever moved to China?
No, they're racist.
Not all of them.
Yes, they are. You wouldn't be from the South if you weren't racist.
Well, you know what? You brought me around. You're right. They're all racist.
I know I'm right. So King's parents are there too. Yay, that's the note that I misread that I said King's parents are dead, and then it was like a Freudian thing in my head. So it's time for the match. Kind of a cool idea, but super fucking unnecessary. It's so dumb. What the fuck? Michael Buffer earning his millions of dollars for saying let's get ready to rumble, even though he doesn't technically say that.
No, he says we are ready to rumble.
Shh. Yeah, that's copyrighted.
Okay, just bleep it. Just bleep it.
Sean gets set on fire by the pyro because they're him and King are about to walk out, and he's like, "Hey," King turns to him and says, "Watch out for the pyro." And he's like, "Hey, what was that last thing you said?" And then he gets set on fire because we need another dumb gag before shit starts getting serious for a second.
Yes, I agree. I think we did need that dumb gag. I think it works. I'm in favor of it.
So we get into the match, and it's, you know, DDP versus King, and they're locked in this cage. And then DDP, his job is to make sure that King does not get up to the title.
Oh, and Joey Pants is like selling it. He's like, rest in peace, King.
Yeah, that's right. And then, so what Sean does, as DDP is trying to handcuff King to the cage, I really like this beat. It's really actually funny. Sean grabs this powder, throws it in DDP's face, and he's like, "You dumbass, that stuff doesn't work." And he's like, "I know." Then he's like, it's like a sleight of hand magician. And then it turns out DDP's now handcuffed to the cage.
Yep.
It's good. It's good. It's good stuff.
And Sean goes, "Diamond upside down is a pussy." This is really riding that PG-13 line hard.
Back before PG-13 was just PG.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it is now. You couldn't get away with a joke like that in an Avengers movie. Like, come on.
Seriously. Seriously, good luck.
So, King's son eventually makes his way into the ring here.
Oh, yeah, as the most non-mysterious mystery fighter ever.
It's like, I can't remember who he's with. It's like, I think it's Hoovitude or whatever. They call him Hoovy. And, you know, he's fighting him, and he's got a mask on, and turns out it's his son.
They send him in this green leotard that makes him look like a fucking jelly bean with legs.
The son gets no, what's that word?
I'm not sure.
The good thing that happens to bad people?
Redemption.
Thank you.
No, he does not. He just comes in and fucks his dad up, and then here comes Goldberg.
Yeah. Sinclair calls out all the other bad guys, and then King takes him out with a ladder, or he kind of tries to.
I mean, it's a great fight.
It is actually a really good fight, right?
Like, yeah. I'm still not buying Oliver Platt, but the fight itself, fantastic.
His son distracts him and shit. And when he's getting his ass kicked, the good guys come out. Yay! You know, you got Kidman and Goldberg fucking saving his ass.
To, let's see, what's the name of the song that they come out to again? It's by this, I can't remember who wrote it. Or rather, who's famous for having released it, whether he wrote it or not.
Oh, is it Kid Rock?
Let's be honest. Is that it? Is it a Kid Rock song?
Bah, your favorite with artist? The bang-a-dang, diggy-diggy. Anyways, I know the song. I'm just not going to sing it anymore. And so does Gordy. Gordy comes out too, but he's got a gimmick. He just has a built-in gimmick. He's riding a fucking police bike.
He clearly stole his dad's bike. And one of his dad's outfits, and he is dressed up as a wrestling highway patrolman.
Yeah, just like the Big Boss Man, you know.
It's pretty good, especially,
or the Mountie.
Like he gets the nickname at the end of the thing, the Law.
The Law. The Mountie. Do you remember the Mountie?
No, I don't think I ever. I don't think I've ever seen the Mountie before.
Wrestling was a cartoon show back in the early '90s. So
okay, yeah.
Everybody was just named after like the job that they had. So Gordy like jumps this fucking motorcycle into the cage and knocks the cage down so all the good guys can get in and shit. Oh my god. And Gordy delivers the weakest fucking spear I've ever seen in my life, and then Goldberg's like, "Yeah, the badass man. Get the fuck out of here."
Well, come on. He's like what, 130 pounds tops?
Then Sasha shows up and she's like, I'm so sorry that all this happened. And Gordy's like looking at her, but then Sean's on the other side of the cage going, hey, Sasha. And she's like, not now, hang on. And it's like, no, hey, Sasha. And then you can see in the background, King's like swinging this fucking ladder around. And then all of a sudden he's like, Sasha. And she's like, what? And she turns around, and this is the thing we've seen 1,000 times also. She gets hit in the fucking face with the ladder, and he's like, you shouldn't be so close when the ladder match is going on.
And then she's just laid out, eyes wide open, like, ooh, that looks like some brain damage right there.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. She was a bitch. The two dudes, the DDP and King, they're on cage 3 now. They climb up all the way to the top.
Yes, they do.
And then eventually King gets thrown down to the first cage, but Sting swoops in like a crow.
Yeah. Now, when you say thrown down to the first cage for the audience, if you have not watched this
movie, oh, yeah, it's like
I understand.
It's a triple-decker pyramid looking
cage. He gets
cage.
Thrown down on top of the first
on top,
cage.
Yes.
So he's not thrown like all the way down.
Not like the Undertaker yet.
Not yet.
Or Mankind.
Mankind,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sting swoops down and you know, kicks DDP down off onto the top of the first cage.
Yep. So now they're starting at square one again to get it. Well, square 1.5.
Yeah. And then Sean's like, oh, dude, that was so good, and I love you, man, and I love this guy. And Sting's getting all homophobed out.
Sean really pushes it. He's like, you love Jimmy King. I love Jimmy King. We're men, and we can admit that we love other men. And Sting just punches him right in the face.
And then Gordy's like, ooh, me, do me. And then he punches him in the face, too. Oh, my God.
Gordy. So manic.
And now they're working their way back up the cages, and on top of the cage, they're fighting. And this fight is like pretty legit, actually. And they're like shoot fighting. There's no wrestling going on
here. This is literally the first time I buy Oliver Platt is when they like when they lock into each other. And now it's like Godzilla versus Kong.
And then DDP looks at him and goes, who are you fighting for? And it's slow-mo. He's like, me. Really dumb.
It is, but I love it.
But eventually, you know, King gets the upper hand. He grabs DDP and body slams him through all three cages. So he goes through the roof of the top one, the roof of the second one, and then the roof of the first one, and lands on his ass on the ring down below, just like Mankind did.
Out cold.
Twice. And that was after getting thrown off the top of the cage onto a table, then climbing back up to the cage.
That match, that real match is fucking insanity.
King grabs the title, and that means he wins the match. And then Gordy and Sean, after that, they end up beating the shit out of Sinclair a little bit and then sending him into the crowd to maybe get ripped apart so they might be accessory to a murder right there. Right? I mean...
The entire crowd takes Sinclair down and starts stomping him. I mean, it's played for comedic effect, obviously, but in reality, yeah.
He's dead as shit.
He's probably dead.
Oh, man. So now King's back in the ring, and Goldberg says, he's like, hey, man, I think it's okay. I think I want to be your tag team partner. But King's like, you know what? I think I have a tag team partner already.
And then here comes Gordy and Sean.
It's Gordy. This is Gordy the Law, whatever his last name is.
Yeah, I can't remember either of their last names either.
And then Sean is Sugar Tits. What's this?
Sean Sugar Daddy
Holmes. I don't know if that's.
I don't know what his last name is either.
And then when Gordy gets the name the Law, he points to the camera and goes, "I will bust you."
Oh, and we should mention that his dad started watching about half.
Oh yeah, his dad's watching too.
In the sheriff station or whatever it is, they started. Everybody else was watching it, and the dad was like, my son almost threw away a career on that crap. And one of the guys goes, your son's starting a career on that crap. And then he comes over to the TV. He's like, get him, Gordy, get him.
Also, that's how you become a wrestler. You just kind of show up and start beating the shit out of people. It's Sean Sugar Daddy Dawkins, by the way.
Dawkins. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
So we cut back to the store where Sean is telling the story that just happened to the kids. And they don't believe him, really. They're like, oh, come on. That was a one-time deal. Like, no, but we don't believe that you actually got contracts or whatever.
You're not really going to be Jimmy King's manager, and Gordy's not really going to wrestle with him.
And then the fucking store clerk gets thrown out of the goddamn window, like the door. And
by Goldberg.
By fucking Goldberg.
Jimmy King and Gordy. But and, let's be honest, Goldberg's the one who threw him.
Oh, absolutely. And then the Nitro girls come and pick up everybody.
Just the one Nitro girl. I can't remember her name.
Yay for the Nitro girls. And then in the outtakes, King accidentally punches Macho Man in the face.
There's a lot of outtakes.
And then in the outtakes.
There's a lot of outtakes of Oliver Platt getting kicked in the balls.
Yes, yes. And then the other part of the outtakes is just David Arquette like spitballing lines and shit. And it's all pretty funny.
I'm glad they left those lines out of the movie because they are not as funny as the lines that got left in the movie. But I'm also glad that they showed them to us because they were funny.
Squirrel nuts.
Squirrel nuts? Come on. How are you not going to love that?
So, shit. Yeah, that's the end of the fucking movie.
And then they all drive off with Sal Mandini in the back.
Oh, Sal Mandini is in like a jacuzzi.
Of a Hummer jacuzzi.
Yeah.
With two
of the Nitro girls.
Two of the Nitro girls is like, God bless America.
I'm going to wrestle. Yeah. Okay, so now the movie's over for like reals.
And the
God damn it, would you
stop? The license plate says WWKD.
Oh, yeah. What would King do? Wicked.
Wicked. Oh, okay.
That does it for one of the most 2000s movies ever. Like year 2000 movies.
Very 2000.
I apologize again for getting all my fucking time frames wrong and thinking that this movie ripped off other movies when in reality other movies ripped off this movie.
Instantaneous indictment.
Fuck. I suck.
I'll forgive you because I'm a great person.
That's nice. Not really worried about you, though.
Oh, the listeners? They're pieces of shit. They're going to hold it against you forever.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
It's been too long since we've said fuck you to the audience, hasn't it?
Yes.
I think it's been a while.
On that note, I will harass you every day if you follow us on some social media.
He won't harass you every day. He'll harass you occasionally at best.
Before we do that, I forgot. Do you have any final thoughts? Give me your final thoughts on this fucking movie.
I love this movie. I unironically, when I first watched this movie, I was 22 years old, maybe 21 years old. I loved it immediately. I have loved it ever since. I was in my ultimate takes myself too seriously period, and I still loved it. It captures wrestling. Everything there is to love about wrestling gets captured in this movie. And it might not be your thing, and it's definitely not a good movie, but it's so goddamn fun to watch. I love it.
This is definitely one of those movies that I'll watch it and I'll enjoy it, and then I'll watch it again and be like, that was dumb. I don't ever want to watch that again. And then for some reason, I'll decide I want to watch it again, and then I'll enjoy it, and then it'll just keep going back and forth.
Nope, there's no fluctuation for me. I always love it.
I mean, I'm a mature person now, so I don't know what that means.
Apparently, I'm de-evolving in levels of maturity.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. This movie's fun. Go watch it. Stick your finger up your butt. Go make the gas station attendant fucking smell it. I don't know.
Only if he's a giant tool, though.
Only if he's Frank Zappa's son.
Yeah. If he's one of Frank Zappa's kids, definitely make him smell your ass finger.
We're done with Ready to Rumble. But again, like I said, if you want me to harass you every once in a while, you can follow us on some social media on everything at the Shark Pod. If you want me to... No genitals involved, so I'm sorry for everybody that's been requesting that, but I just don't want to show you my balls.
Hey, you guys gotta reach out to your good friend the Rev for that.
Yeah.
I will show you my balls.
That's all on him.
I won't stop showing you my balls. Like, if you open that floodgate, you're going to regret it.
But if you say, please stop, sir, he will.
Yeah, but like, why would you want to do that?
Enthusiastic consent.
But you won't want to. You'll hate it, but you'll love it at the same time.
You'll be mesmerized. He even puts googly eyes on his nuts sometimes.
I do. That's factual.
He's got us quit covering up his pee hole with a googly eye, though, because that's not healthy.
No, the funny, what I like to do is I like to let the pubes grow out nice and long, and then I put googly eyes on one on each nut and then drop the dong down the middle like a big old nose, and then I put glasses on it.
I was going to say the Groucho Marx balls. You could get a boner and put a little top hat on your wiener and shave your nuts into a beard, and then you can be Abraham Lincoln. Patreon.com/SharksAcrossHollywood. I figure that's as good of a transition as any for that. Abraham
on
Lincoln
brand for us.
Abraham Lincoln dick beard. But we have lots of stuff for you to listen to on Patreon also.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's it. We're going to do another thing another time. but I'm going to stop telling you that, because that way I can release this episode and whatever episode in any fucking order I feel like, because ha ha ha. So we'll be back in a couple weeks with some other movie that I decide to torture the Rev with. But until then, stay Jawsome.